the courage, son.
Welcome to this week's edition of the headlines from CKUT's Community News Collective in Montreal. Information that matters from our neighborhood to the world. Produced in collaboration with the Dominion. We are broadcasting from Montreal and rebroadcasting on stations throughout Canada and the U.S. These are the headlines for the week of February 15th. I'm Juniper Belshaw. Today, we start with national headlines.
The Royal Canadian Mint recently sent a letter to an environmental group based in British Columbia, warning them not to use Canada's $1 coin, the Loonie, to campaign against a proposed oil pipeline. The Dogwood Initiative has already produced and distributed 200,000 removable plastic stickers that fit onto the coin. The black decals make the emblematic loon, pictured on the coin, appear to be swimming in oil. The sticker also displays the internet address of the Dogwood Initiative, notankers.ca. The legal counsel for Canada's Mint sent a letter dated February 2nd to the environmental group saying that the Currency Act prohibits using Canadian coins for reasons other than currency. This rules out protesting, communicating, and advertising, it says. It also warns that violators of the act may face a fine or imprisonment. And the letter goes on to note that the Mint owns the trademark of the image of the Loonie, and requests that the Dogwood Initiative cease using the image immediately without the Mint's permission. According to an article in the Georgia Strait, the Dogwood Initiative sent a notice to supporters saying, quote, "Ultimately, the No Tankers decals can be removed by a flick of the finger and the Loonies brought back to their former selves. The same can't be said of an oil spill on our coast," end quote. The group, based in Victoria, BC, says that oil spills will be inevitable if tankers are allowed to serve the central coast of BC to gather oil from the proposed Northern Gateway pipeline. This project would connect oil from the northern Alberta oil sands to a deepwater port at Kitimat, BC.
Statistics Canada has announced that Canada's manufacturing sales suffered an 8% drop in December 2008, the largest monthly drop since StatsCan began the measurement in 1992. Ontario had a 9.2% drop in sales, with losses concentrated in the transportation equipment sector and the petroleum, coal, and primary metal sectors. British Columbia suffered a decline in wood products, while Quebec and Alberta suffered declines in mainly petroleum product and primary metal sectors. This news sends a bad omen to those employed in Canada's manufacturing industries. In January 2009, a 5% decrease was observed in the overall manufacturing workforce in Canada, and a statement made by the Canadian Manufacturers and Exporters Association that claims that 40% of the 10,000 businesses they represent will be cutting back their workforce this spring in response to the lack of demand for their products.
RCMP Commissioner William Elliott delivered a public statement in Ottawa last Thursday, outlining the RCMP's new guidelines with regard to their usage of conducted energy weapons, commonly known as CEWs or by the brand name Taser. Last June, the House of Commons Standing Committee on Public Safety and National Security delivered a report about Taser usage after the highly publicized 2007 death of Polish citizen Robert Jikanski at the Vancouver International Airport. Elliott was responding to the Commission's recommendations. According to Elliott, all members of the RCMP were instructed last June that the CEWs, quote, must only be used where it is necessary to do so in circumstances of threat to officer or public safety, end quote. This requirement has now been written into RCMP policy. According to the RCMP, CEW use training and certification of police officers have been improved since the 2007 death. Further, RCMP officers will now need to formally account for all use of force involving tasers. However, Commissioner Elliott dismissed the Standing Committee's recommendation that healthcare professionals be consulted in cases involving individuals suffering from mental illness or drug addiction. He stated, quote, "We agree, but it must be recognized that often police must respond immediately to emergency situations and cannot prearrange such support even where it is available. Furthermore, police may not be aware that they are dealing with someone in need of psychiatric support until after circumstances have required the use of force," end quote. An Amnesty International report last December called for a moratorium on taser use, based on a study of 98 people who died after being tasered. The Norwegian professor of forensic pathology who conducted the study found that many of those who died had received multiple or prolonged shocks and went into cardiorespiratory arrest shortly after. The Amnesty report noted that while most of those who died were agitated, disturbed, or on drugs, 90% were unarmed. Elliot also failed to address public concerns about taser testing and voltage regulation. Last December, a study sponsored by the CBC and Radio Canada found that of the 41 tasers tested, 4 or 10% emitted a current that was up to 50% stronger than the devices were certified to emit. These irregularities may well be fatal. To date, 25 people have died after being tasered in Canada.
After 2 years of negotiations, the National Union of Journalists claim to have successfully resolved their dispute with internet giant Google. According to the NUG, journalists who have had books published in the United States that Google has scanned for its document database are now eligible for royalties from Google.
Under pressure from the United States, NATO forces in Afghanistan have received orders to attack so-called drug lords who use the drug trade to help fund the Taliban. At Canada's House of Commons, Defense Minister Peter MacKay said that targeting drug traffickers is not a priority for Canadian forces. But he also said, quote, "We are a NATO participant, and if and when there is a direct linkage between the insurgency and poppy growth, then Canadian commanders and soldiers themselves will act accordingly," end quote. Member of Parliament Don Black of the NDP said that the new policy could further alienate Afghans who are forced into the drug trade for survival. And while NATO has said that these military operations will comply with international law, Black said that the policy could put Canada and NATO into a legal gray area.
Called the Predator B unmanned aircraft system, a series of unmanned, remote-controlled flying robots will now patrol the U.S. and Canadian border. The border region first affected by this will be between North Dakota and Manitoba. The CBC reports that RCMP Staff Sergeant Ron Obdinsky says that the surveillance plans will intervene in the trafficking of drugs, alcohol, and people. The drones do not carry any weapons and are intended for surveillance purposes only. Armed with cameras and sensors, the drones can detect a moving person from over 11 kilometers away. The same drone series have been patrolling the U.S.-Mexican border since 2005 and have been used by the Americans in both the Iraq and Afghanistan wars.
Students at Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts, congratulated the school on Thursday for becoming the first U.S. college to divest from companies benefiting from the Israeli occupation of Israel. Such a move by the small Massachusetts college would have dramatic symbolic power, as Hampshire was the first U.S. college to divest from the apartheid regime of South Africa in 1977.
We want to spread this as a movement and prove to other student groups that you can pressure your institution to remove its investments in companies that profit from the illegal occupation of Palestine under international law. We also want to reinforce that if you have a victory, it's not over. We still need to be having lots of educational events on campus because people don't know. People don't know what this means. There's always something more to be done, especially in this country, but I do think that the tides are changing.
But the college's top leadership insisted that, quote, "the decision expressly did not pertain to a political movement or single out business activity in a specific region or country." No other report or interpretation of the actions of the February 7, 2009 meeting by the Hampshire College Board of Trustees is accurate. The six companies that earned the students' disapproval were Caterpillar, United Technologies, General Electric, ITT Corporation, Motorola, and Terex. They sell products in Israel used by the military and both by civil and commercial sectors of the Israeli society.
Israel has designated 425 acres of Palestinian-owned farmland for settlement expansion near the Israeli settlement of Efrat in the West Bank. While 1,600 families reside in Efrat, Israel plans to build an additional 2,500 homes to have the settlement grow to a city of 30,000 people. Efrat is situated within one of the three settlement blocks Israel expects to hold onto in any final peace deal with Palestine. While the settlement plans still await government approval, 9 appeals were filed by Palestinian landowners, of which 8 were rejected and 1 was upheld. According to the International Middle East Media Center, the Settlement Council said they want to get approval from the current government, as outgoing Defense Minister Ehud Barak agreed to build a wall annexing the land to Israel's side. In 2002, the wall was declared illegal by the International Court of Justice, according to international law. The settlement plans increased the tension between Hamas and Israel in current negotiations of a permanent ceasefire agreement mediated through Egypt. According to IPS, reports in the Arab media say a permanent ceasefire between Israel and Hamas would have gone into effect as early as Sunday had the Israeli government not suddenly upped the ante. According to the BBC, Israel has pledged to freeze settlement activity on occupied land, but it has continued to expand existing settlements, defying international law since 1967. Meanwhile, the 5th annual Israeli Apartheid Week is set to happen from March 1st to the 8th. According to apartheidweek.org, more than 40 cities worldwide will be organizing and participating in public lectures, discussions, cultural performances, and demonstrations to, quote, educate people about the nature of Israel as an apartheid system and to build boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaigns as part of a growing global BDS movement, end quote. And those are this week's headlines. Our broadcasts are available for download every week at cktnews.wordpress.com and at ckut.ca. And you can read more news from the grassroots at dominionpaper.ca. Thanks this week to our friends at the Dominion and our contributors Juniper Belcha, Annabelle Crew, Tariq Jero-Burkhan, David Koch, and the CKUT Community News Collective. I'm Laura Glowacki. To contact us, email headlines@ckut.ca or call 514-448-4041, extension 6788. Thanks for listening.